unless you talk about knowledge. No.
Yeah.
No, no. Uh-huh. And so I started looking at 1 John, and, you know, 1 John's all about love, right?
Yeah.
He's talking about love a lot and all that sort of thing. And I went through and I counted all the times he talked about love and all the other things that are in there. You know what word he uses the most? No.
Uh-huh.
And we know that. And he goes on and on and on and on. We know that it'd be da-da-da-da-da, you know. And he's just, the word no is just all in there.
Yeah.
You know. And I was talking to my son, my youngest son, and we were talking about Proverbs. And I said, yeah, the thing that always got me about Proverbs was I'd start reading it, and I'd get bogged down. I couldn't get very far. I said, what I realized was 1/3 of Proverbs, the first 10 chapters, saying one thing, get wisdom, get understanding,
get knowledge.
Uh-huh.
And he just says it over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And the whole 10 chapters, basically you can sum it up with get knowledge, get wisdom, get understanding.
Uh-huh.
But he spends 10 chapters saying that.
Yeah.
Before he ever launches into all of his, you know, Proverbs and stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm going, wow, this must be important.
Yeah.
And so you do see it in the New Testament a lot. You see, you need to know God.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You need to know his ways. They did not know my ways,
mm-hmm.
it says in Hebrews. They did not enter into my rest. They refused to know my ways.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to know God's ways.
Amen.
Why he does things the way he does things.
Mm-hmm.
We can know this. He's no longer hidden. He's personal now.
Amen.
Really personal. And so that just really, really hit me, you know. And really, I focused on that. I thought, I need to know God's ways.
Yes.
How does he do things? Why does he do things?
Amen.
I need to know who he is.
Mm-hmm.
And how much he loves me.
Mm-hmm.
But I also need to know who I am.
Yeah.
Yes.
To him.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what matters, really.
Yeah.
Not who I am to somebody over here.
Amen.
Not who I am to somebody over here.
Mm-hmm.
Not who I am to my boss or my kids, but who am I to him?
Yeah.
Because that's where my power lies.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Right? That's where my power lies. Okay, so I'm going to start off today. I'm going to put a nickel down.
Whoa.
Give each one of you a nickel. I'll keep it out where you can see it now. Okay?
Does it matter which side we put it on?
No, it doesn't matter which side you put it on. You get a nickel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I heard what he's saying. It said that people today, you know, the older people today, mm-hmm. we think that young people don't know the value of money,
mm-hmm.
right? They don't really appreciate the value of money. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
David said, amen. He said,
personal experience.
So the saying goes, though, well, they do know the value of money. If you don't believe it, just try giving one of them a nickel.
That's cute.
They don't think too much of a nickel, do they? They know there's not much value in a nickel. Right? There's not much value in a nickel. All right? So, Brother Dave, I guess some of them do know the value of money. At least they know there's not a whole lot of value in a nickel.
Mm-hmm.
What's a nickel to you? What can you buy with a nickel? You can't buy hardly anything, can you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, penny candy costs more than a nickel now. Which just kind of sounds kind of strange, but you know. You know, you can't, you know, you go to a restaurant, you know, and they got the little jar of mints sitting on the counter where you pay your check, you know. It's a quarter.
Mm-hmm.
One little bite, quarter, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Can't get that for a nickel. Right. A nickel doesn't get you very far, does it?
It's got real silver in it. It's a low 1967. It's worth a lot more than a nickel.
Yeah. So nickels aren't worth much. I don't know why we carry them around anymore, but, you know, they still mint them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And but nickels aren't worth much. We don't think too much of nickels. We, you know, okay, it was a nickel, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We're walking around the parking lot at Walmart, and we look down at the nickel, whatever, you know, I'm in a hurry. You just keep going. I'll let somebody else pick it up, you know.
No, I haven't done that. I'll pick it up.
It's a nickel, it's not much at all.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
A friend of mine glued a quarter to his driveway, play a joke on people.
Oh, really?
He does what now?
He glued a quarter.
It's more than
to his driveway.
To his
the food people for picking it up, trying to pick it up.
It won't come up.
That's just this a joke. That's a boy thing. Girls would never do it. Never even thought of that in my whole life.
Yeah.
I'd go out and pick it up for them. You too, wouldn't you, mean?
Well, one of the things I wanted to talk about, you know, I've been stressing, and you've heard me stress this over and over again, power. We Christians have power. We need to exercise the power we have. Mm-hmm. We got supernatural power. We can do this and we can do that. Right?
Yes.
I've been just going on and on about it. We have the power. We need to use the power.
Mm-hmm.
But what I wanted to talk to you today and have you talk to me, okay, is, well, how much power do you need? How much power do you need?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Do you need a nickel's worth of power?
Mm-hmm.
Lord.
Do you need more power than that nickel's worth?
Yeah.
Well, I got to thinking about this. I woke up this morning thinking about this. I was just thinking about how God is so great. He's powerful, you know, and He's created the universe and, you know, all the stars and the galaxies. You know, we can't talk about stars anymore, can we, Brother David? Because they're not just stars. There's galaxies. And there's nebula and there's stuff. Black holes and stuff. We don't even... We still haven't discovered out there, right?
They don't end. They're still creating, aren't they?
It just keeps going. Mm-hmm. I may have mentioned this before, but they took the Hubble telescope. Okay, that's the one up in space. And they have a huge telescope, they put it up in space. And so they've done a lot of looking at stars, you know, galaxies and everything, and there's, if you really look, there's stars and there's galaxies. You know, not just stars, but galaxies of stars, you know. Just the number of stars just boggles, you know, we can't even grasp how many stars there are up there.
Mm.
But it says, you know, there's one spot in our sky that's dark. We don't see any stars up there.
Mm-hmm.
It's dark. Are we looking beyond the edge of the universe?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what that is?
Mm-hmm.
And so they said, I got an idea. So they took the Hubble telescope, which is up in space, it doesn't have any problems from down here on Earth. They took the Hubble telescope and said, since it's dark, if we just look at the Hubble, and we look at it, it's just dark. There's nothing there, you know. Mm-hmm. But what if we take the Hubble and we point it at there, and we let it sit there and gather in whatever light there is, you know, over days, over weeks?
Mm-hmm.
Would there be something there? You know, because if you got a faint light, you can't see it. But if you store up that faint light coming in, it'll mm-hmm. slowly make an image, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So they took the Hubble and they pointed it up there at that dark spot. They just left it there.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a big deal. Mm-hmm. Take something like the Hubble that, you know, people can use for all kinds of things and just point it at nothing for a long time. That's tying up a lot of time on the Hubble.
Mm-hmm.
But they said, well, this is going to be worth it, maybe. Let's see if it is. But maybe this will tell us this is where the edge of the universe is. This is where it ends, mm-hmm. you know. And then we'll have some idea of what size the universe is, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So they left the Hubble up there and just let it sit, gather it in. If there was anything, it was going to gather it in and record it. So at the end of the time period, they had decided. They took the frame, they wanted to see what it was. And they downloaded it to Earth. They threw it up on a screen. What did they see?
galaxies all over the place.
Oh, really?
The whole screen was filled with
God,
galaxies.
Yeah, because they spoke of light that's still going.
Yeah.
It's just going. It's being created and created and created and created. They don't stop.
Yeah.
Because he's God.
Exists. As far as they could see, galaxies. Not just two or three. The whole screen was filled with galaxies.
I bet that made a bunch of believers a bit strong either as one.
It certainly should have.
But one by the other, didn't it? When you saw that.
That was that dark spot.
That was the dark spot.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That was the dark spot that you could, you looked at it with a regular telescope, with the naked, you know, eye looking through the telescope, you don't see anything. You look at it for an hour, you don't see anything.
Mm-hmm.
But putting a huge Hubble telescope on it for just weeks,
mm-hmm.
they were able to gather enough light to make images mm-hmm. of what was there. And it just, it filled the screen.
Yeah.
There wasn't, it was just, I don't know how many. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it, who knows if they'd left it for a long time. They might have just got a big whitewash.
Yeah, that's probably what would happen.
You know, I mean, it's like, it's just incredible. This is how big our God is.
Mm.
Yeah.
Genesis 1, Brother Fager. Genesis 1. And if you look there about the, I think it's the third day, and he says that he made the heavens and the earth. Is that right? He made the moon and stars or sun and moon and stars, right? Read that verse. I forget which one it is. Sun and moon and stars. The lights. He talks about the lights.
14, is that right?
Yeah.
And God said, let there be lights on the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night.
Yeah,
let them be for signs and seasons, days and for years. Is that what we want?
Yeah, that's about? The one I want.
And let them be for lights on the firmament of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmaments of the heaven to give light upon the earth.
Okay.
Keep going.
No, actually, yes. Stop right there, but back up a little bit. Start off at the very beginning again.
In the very beginning?
Where you started reading.
And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs, for seasons. For days and for years.
Okay, stop right there. Now, I want you to think. Look, you go out at night. You look up at the sky. You see the Milky Way, right?
Mm-hmm.
How many stars is that?
Heba.
That's a good term.
There's a lot of stars. I mean, we can't count them all, can we? And those now are just stars in one galaxy. Just stars in one galaxy. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, we can take telescopes and we can look all over and we can see galaxies everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Galaxies everywhere. Not just stars, but galaxies everywhere. Each one having uncountable stars.
Mm-hmm.
And the Hubble looks in a place where we can't see anything
mm-hmm.
and it finds
more
galaxies, because mm-hmm. you can't see an individual star that far. You got to see galaxies.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, why did God make that? Read that again, that first part. Why did He make all of this huge stuff? Read mm-hmm. it again.
And God said, "Let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth."
Go on.
And it was so. And God made the two great lights.
What was the signs of the seasons?
For signs.
That's 14.
Okay. Read that.
Okay. And God said, let the big lights of the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs,
seasons,
days, years.
That's why He made this.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
That's why He made this. For what? Signs,
Seasons,
days, and years. For who?
For us.
For us.
We're going to have a good time in the future.
All the folks on this little bitty ball, right?
Yeah, well, I don't think we're going to stay there in eternity all the time. We might live here, but I think
we're going to
have a good time.
All of us here on this
Eden.
Little bitty like ball Eden. On the edge of the Milky Way galaxy.
Milky Way kind of a smaller galaxy too, or is it a bigger galaxy?
I have no idea. I haven't measured it.
I don't know.
I really don't know. But I can tell you, it must be pretty small because some of the way, you know,
yeah.
If you can see the ones far off, they've got to be huge, you know. Mm-hmm. But
Milky Way is closer, isn't it?
Huh?
It's closer to us, isn't it?
What?
The Milky Way.
No, we're in it.
Oh, okay.
We're in the Milky Way.
We're in the Milky Way.
Next time you eat a candy bar.
Well, what we're seeing, you know, the Milky Way is like a spiral.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's like a flying saucer.
Yeah.
If you think about a flying saucer or a flying disc, you know. Uh-huh. It's like that. It's flat. Okay? Mm-hmm. And it's like that spiral arms. Mm-hmm. And we're off here. We're about right here on it.
Yeah.
And so what we see, and we call the Milky Way, is us looking toward the center of the galaxy. And all the stars that are in the center. There's more stars in the center than there are out on the outskirts.
Yeah.
So we look toward the center, and that's that Milky Way we see in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
That's the, because there's a flat disk, you know, and you're looking at the disk.
Yeah.
You're seeing all the stars in the center and on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the Milky Way is.
Mm-hmm.
And when we see the Milky Way, that's just the stars in our galaxy. Mm.
Oh, wow.
If you want to see another galaxy, you got to get one of these big telescopes. I mean, a huge one, you know, that they build buildings for, you know. And, yeah, you know, huge, huge mirrors in it, huge lenses. And a little bee. Lynn can look through there. Oh, yeah, I see a galaxy now, yeah.
Amazing, amazing.
He made all of this.
In papers.
For who?
For us.
For us, Mary, thank you for us walking around here on this little bitty ball of dirt.
Wow.
For us to have signs,
seasons, days, and years.
That's just for us. Just so we get more time. just so we can have a sign.
Mm.
And of course,
seasons.
We had a sign, didn't we?
Mm.
When Jesus was born?
Mm-hmm.
The wise men, we have seen his star in the east.
Yeah.
We've come to worship him.
Right.
And
there are signs. In the, you know,
in the zodiac, don't it tell a lot of things about God, too, by looking at the constellation? I don't know if you don't call it zodiac, but I know, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
All of them's got certain things that they tell you all about creation and God.
I don't know
either. I just heard that somewhere.
Little Jim did a thing about that, but like in the zodiac, it's a twist. You know, they twisted it around.
Oh, yeah, you wouldn't do that. But you call it, what do you call it?
Originally, it was
Constellation.
Constellation, yeah. Jim.
It was meant to tell a gospel story.
Yeah. That was Marilyn Hickey years ago, and I don't remember exactly what all she said. So
the deal is, though, is that this is the kind of God we got. This is how powerful he is.
Ooh.
Yeah.
He wanted to create some folks, us, right?
Mm-hmm.
And just so that we can have some light,
mm-hmm.
just so that we can have some signs
mm-hmm.
and some seasons and all of this sort of thing, a north star to guide our sailing vessels and whatever,
mm-hmm.
he makes all of this other stuff.
Yeah.
Not just a few stars.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what we would have done. We would have, hey, you know, they're never going to go out past the galaxy, so there's no need to make anything out there, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's not God. God's ways, God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts and our ways, right?
Yeah.
As our heaven is higher than the earth, so are his ways higher than our ways.
Yeah.
His thoughts than our thoughts. He creates this huge universe that we still haven't found the end of.
Yeah.
Just for us.
It's kind of important, aren't
we? Yeah.
Just for us. I mean, okay. Anyway, let me switch over and say something else. We think And we need a lot of power. And I've talked about a lot of power. But, you know, if we just get to know God, he's got power.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. He has got power. You know, what that nickel is to you, mm-hmm. that nickel, let me ask you something. Y'all know what a Mercedes-Benz is, mm-hmm. right? Y'all know how expensive those cars are?
Yeah.
I mean, they're like $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 mm-hmm. to drive around one of those vehicles, you know, Mercedes, Porsche, all these nice cars, you know. Mm-hmm. Huge amount of money, right?
Yeah.
But to Bill Gates, mm-hmm. who is worth more than $87 billion, a Mercedes, brand new, loaded with all the extras, is about worth what that nickel is to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's he looks at a Mercedes about like we can look at a nickel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you mean you can talk about that? I can buy a dealership. Well, I care about a Mercedes. That's just, you know, that's what it's worth to him.
Yeah.
Comparatively. But guess what? What's a Mercedes? Or what's a Bill Gates to God?
Mm.
What's an earth compared to God? What's a universe compared to him?
Mm.
Now, get this. You've got the Holy Spirit of God inside you. Mm-hmm. You've got the Holy Spirit of God inside you. That's the kind of power you're working with. You were talking about Satan. You're talking about Lucifer, right? Mm. What kind of power do we need to defeat Lucifer? What kind of power do we need to defeat Lucifer? I tell you, it's real simple, and I can do it in 3 minutes.
Uh-huh.
It's real simple. Okay? Let me ask you something. Jesus did a lot of miracles while he was on earth, right? Mm-hmm. Turned water into wine, all kinds of things. Stopped the wind from blowing, all this. What miracle, what power did Jesus use when Satan came to tempt him?
The word he spoke, he was written.
He didn't use any, did he? He didn't use any miracle working power. Mm-hmm. He didn't do any of that. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Satan tried to get him to do a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
He said, no, I'm not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can be defeated. It's by a few simple words. You're so puny. I don't need to do a miracle. All I gotta do is scripture. Quote a few scripture passages.
Mm-hmm.
From the Old Testament even.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
He says, You're nothing. You're nothing. I can run you off by just quoting a few scriptures. You don't have to be a powerful person to defeat Satan. All you got to do is speak a few scripture passages. He went high-tailing it off.
Then he left for a season.
So although I've stressed power in my talking to you, I want you to realize, mm-hmm. you know, Satan, you don't need power to defeat Satan. All you need to know is the word. Mm-hmm. Right? The sword of the Spirit,
mm-hmm.
which is so, get to know the word.
Yeah.
And you got everything you need to defeat
mm-hmm.
Satan.
Yeah.
He was trying to get him to do a miracle.
Yeah, he tried to get him to do all kinds of miracles, right? Mm-hmm. And Jesus says, you know what? Someday, my followers are going to read to see how I defeated Satan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I want them to know that even the weakest of them can defeat you.
Yeah.
You don't need anything special.
No.
You don't need any kind of special faith or anything. Right?
Right.
You just speak my word.
Speak the word.
That's power.
And you can run him off. Praise the Lord. All right.
Yeah,
go ahead, please.
Okay, this is Hebrews 1:3. It's kind of like you're saying.
Yeah.
Who being the brightness, talking about Jesus, who being the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person and upholding all things. That's everything, from the littlest to the universe.
Yes.
By the word of his power.
That's right.
The word of his power. That's mm-hmm. what we've got. The word of his power in every situation.
That's power.
Mm-hmm.
We don't
that's
think.
Good. That's
we don't think
good
our words
you,
are powerful.
How you brought that illustration out because it's That illustration is so powerful.
Yeah.
That was our example of how Jesus defeated. Because we got the same enemy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean.
Exactly. We defeat him the same way.
Oh, my God. You know what? You could go back to Genesis and see how the enemy defeated. He didn't do no special tricks or anything. He defeated Eve just on words. Just words. Just conversation words. Uh-huh. Just getting her to doubt what Jesus, mm-hmm. what the Word of God says. Did he really say that? Did you really know that? You know, that's all he did was just deceived her in the word. He didn't use nothing powerful, you know, just words. Mm-hmm.
The power behind the throne of many a ruler is the advisor whispering in his ear.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. You've probably heard a lot of stories about that. The power behind the throne is really the advisor. Whispers in his ear, tells the king what he wants the king to know.
Right, that's so powerful to get us to see. That's our example of what Jesus did when he faced in. Now, I'm going to tell y'all, sometimes we say we face the devil or the devil got, but most of the time it's the demons. But Jesus here faced the devil himself. He didn't send a demon because he didn't want to miss. The devil himself.
And how did he cast out demons?
With a word. With a word.
Thank you, Brother David. With a word.
Yeah. Same.
That's all it was. Mm-hmm. With a word. Right. So we got more power in our word. That we realize. Amen. Mm-hmm. All right. We better pray.
But that was good, Ray. That was very good bringing that out. That's something most people need to just know. Because they're defeated just from just believing what the enemy say. You know, just words.
Yeah.
All he did was words.
Words.
You know, that's all. We could take it back to Goliath and David. All Goliath was putting out was words. He hadn't touched the children of Israel. He just told them, I'm going to get your children. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this. Had not touched not one. And Israel was so defeated from him just talking.
And sight too.
Huh?
Sight and words.
Yeah, sight and words. They saw,
you saw the bigness of it.
Well, that's what kept him out of the promised land at first, because they seemed to giants.
In other words, it's sense, it's carnal sense knowledge. Yeah. What you see, feel, hear, touch, think, in the natural. That's carnality instead of doing the spiritual side.
But what was
side.
The difference in David?
He saw the spiritual side of it. He knew he was defeated. He knew he could take care of it because he had come against God. And he was the instrument for God.
He saw it as a lot different. The children of Israel just saw it as a giant that was after them and talking to them.
Yeah.
But he said, you have defiled the army of God. David saw it different. Very different. Like Mary said. Very different.
Amen. Okay. Let's bless our food and we'll fellowship together. Father, thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for your son that you gave us for an example, to live inside us, to be with us, to die for our sins. Father, we have so much to be thankful for.
Yes.
Thanksgiving. We have so much we have to be thankful all the time.
Amen.
And we're still not thankful enough, apparently. Mm-hmm. But there's so much more to be thankful for. We thank you, Father,
Jesus,
that you are a wonderful God.
Hallelujah.
We ask you to show us your ways. We ask you to bless the food, bless our fellowship together. Amen.
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 Amen. God bless you.